It's the 100 Sanford Podcast. I am Lamar Lovelace, and I got...
It's your boy, Graham Coffee, on deck. What's up, Lamar?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. We don't have that iconic voice with us. You know, that guy named Trey.
I know, man.
I think he's working the streets again. He's doing his thing. For those who don't know, Trey is, you know, he's really our guy that digs up a lot of dirt out there in terms of recruiting, in terms of what's going on around Athens. But he is kind of caught in some meetings right now. But it's okay. We're going to hold it down again for him. That's not a big deal. We got a pretty good show, but before we do that, man, how was the week? How was the weekend? How you feeling? Everything going on good?
It's good, man. It's good. It's busy times, busy times at work. Got a wedding coming up here in a few weeks, getting married here in late August. So,
yes, sir. You know,
getting fitted for tuxes and all that stuff. Every day there's some decision to make and all that, but it's fun. It's exciting. I'm excited that it's coming. I'll also be excited when it's over with, if that makes sense. Get me to the honeymoon, man. That's where I'm at. But man, things are good. How about you?
Everything is good, man. The son, who I released in the last show, has COVID-19. The 6-year-old, he's better. He's up and running around, and you know, the whole family has managed to stay negative, so that's good as well. Just getting ready to get back out there to work and kind of do the things you have to do to continue to maintain life in the midst of what's going on. But hopefully everybody out there is staying safe. You know, we have that Delta variant. It's popping up all over the place. And, you know, I'm just hoping it doesn't detract from the upcoming season or anything like that. But I did want to tell you, man, you're looking good getting ready for that wedding.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
You working out?
The haircut. Yeah, you know.
You want a Chris Milton workout?
Nothing like that, man. He's like Mr. Olympic over there. I'm not on his level, but I'm out here in Southwest Colorado. So a lot of my exercise is getting outside and, busting up those hills and stuff like that. But I appreciate you noticing. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As usual. Hey, but let's get into it, man. You know, we did have this past weekend. That's why I wanted to really talk to Trey, because I know Trey gets out there and he kind of knows what's going on, but we could talk about it. Let's talk about your thoughts on this, you know, the iconic cookout weekend that Kirby has down there in Athens and, you know, all the buzz that comes out with recruiting. What are your thoughts, man?
Obviously, it paid dividends pretty quickly this week with two commits, one being Dylan Bell, wide receiver out of Houston, and another our man Griffin Scroggs, who we're about to talk to here in a second. Big offensive lineman out of Grayson. I think that it's exciting to see. It seems like there was a lot of momentum that came out of that cookout for Georgia. And it feels like some of these guys that we've been waiting on to commit may have come, it feels like some of these guys that we've been waiting on to commit might be ready to after last weekend, and it also feels like there's some big flip candidates out there for Georgia. So I think that coming off of COVID, this class is just really interesting and it's different, right? Because a lot of these guys haven't been on campus before. And
that's right.
I think we went through that period where guys that were committed to Georgia started doing visits and decommitting or committing to other places. And now I think that's going to boomerang back around and we're going to see guys that were committed elsewhere possibly hop on board with UGA.
Yeah, I think the same thing. You know, these guys did not have an opportunity to actually get out on college campuses, check out the digs and say, hey, you know what? I heard so much good things about this coach or that particular campus or, you know, the people there. But when Kirby is able to get guys on campus, it kind of flips the script for a lot of players, I think. I think, quite honestly, if it has not been for maybe Alabama winning titles or Clemson winning titles or even the allure of Ohio State being up north and away from everything else, Kirby can kind of get whoever he wants because I think once he gets them on campus, kids fall in love with it. They fall in love with the family atmosphere. They fall in love with the way that the players are with each other. And, you know, you kind of go back to, like we talked about, a Dylan Bell. We talk about a Griffin Scruggs. Those guys get on campus and they're, you know, they're enamored by what's going on, right? I mean, Dylan, he's from Houston, Texas, right up the street from where I'm at. How does Texas allow that kid to get away? We're talking about a four-star receiver and he gets away from Texas, who's getting ready to join the SEC. To me, that's crazy. That goes to show you what that cookout truly means in terms of getting these kids lathered up and ready to think about the University of Georgia. I think it's a big deal.
It is definitely a big deal. And I think what Georgia's done probably better in this class than I've seen them do at any point since Kirby Smart became head coach at Georgia is their own evaluating, watching their own film, going out there and getting guys on campus, working them out and making offers to the guys that they think are going to come in and make an impact in that program, regardless of what they're rated by any of the services. And a lot of these guys didn't play football last year. There's not junior year tape on them. So the evaluations that Smart and his staff are doing when they get these guys in person on campus are much more valid and updated than, you know, the stuff that the 24/7 arrivals have to work off of. And that's not because those guys aren't really good at what they do. It's just, they don't have film on a lot of these guys from last year. And these kids are high schoolers, man. Their bodies are changing rapidly. A lot of these guys have been in the weight room nonstop during the pandemic and have had nothing else to do but work on their bodies. And so all of a sudden, a guy that's a three-star wide receiver offensive lineman shows up on campus and he looks like a four or five-star. And credit to Kirby and his staff for jumping on those guys early and getting them offered and getting them locked in, because I think we'll see a lot of those guys skyrocket up the recruiting rankings as we go into their senior years of high school football. And there is tape on them out there.
You know, Graham, I was going to say the same thing, and I'm going to even elaborate on that, because I think now, you know, over the last, 4 years, 5 years, we've seen Kirby and Georgia dominate the recruiting ranks. You know, we're getting five-star after five-star, four-star after, you know, high four-star. Now they're at the point where the cupboard is completely full. But at the same time, now you can actually take a quote-unquote chance on a guy that maybe somebody else has evaluated as a three-star, and you say, you know what, though? I project him as a four-star. I project him as a high four-star, a high five, you know, maybe a low five-star. Mitchell is a great example of that. And when I think about Dylan Bell, I think about Mitchell. I think about a guy that's a three-star that people are like, well, you know what? He didn't go to all the camps. 247 doesn't have him rated as highly, but Georgia looks at him and says, no, I think it's a little bit different. I think he fits our philosophy, fits our scheme, fits our style. And, you know, when you look at Bell and you look at maybe a Cole Spear who they're targeting also, that we hear now, we're starting to see size and speed. That 6'1" receiver, that 6'2" receiver, that guy that's long, that guy that has the ability to stretch the field, that can box guys out, cornerbacks out on the outside. That's the thing that I'm starting to see about this recruiting period in terms of what Kirby and his staff is targeting. Same thing with, like, on the offensive line. We got five-star after five-star. We talked about that about a week and a half ago, right? Now you take a Scroggs and you put him in there, and they say, well, he's a three-star. I've seen the tape on the kid. He's not a three-star. He's a four-star easily, if anything, maybe even higher. But you can still plug and play. And sometimes you need that guy that is that anchor to the rest of these mega stars that are around him, right? You got these two bookend pillars on the outside in Jones and Mims, and, you know, all of a sudden you plug a guy like a Scroggs in the middle with an SVP. I'm talking future guys, but sure, an SVP or a Ratledge. Can you imagine that offensive line growing and becoming something? That's scary. It's a scary thought.
Yeah. And I mean, in Scroggs, you got a kid that's already 6'4", 315. And as you mentioned, you know, he has great, great feet. And when you project that out, like you're talking about, it's just Georgia's building a monster offensive line up front there. And that pipeline continues to be filled with really good players. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, like you said, that anchor, because I think it's a statement that Georgia got a commitment from a prospect at Griffin. You know, Georgia has, that's the
you
one.
You mean Grayson. Grayson.
Grayson, I'm sorry. Yeah, Griffin is his name. yeah, at Grayson. I mean, that's the one in-state high school that Georgia just really hasn't been able to pull some of those major prospects out of over the last few years. And it seems like that in itself speaks to what's going on in Athens and the environment and the relationship that UGA has built with Griffin Scroggs and his family. So it's going to be interesting to see sort of how he becomes that anchor for the class and sort of where Georgia goes to build out that offensive line around him in this class, because they are loaded and there's a ton of five-star guys that are already on campus and that have been enrolled in school. But the thing about the offensive line is you can get thin on the O-line so quick, and it just takes
very fast
one or two transfers or one or two injuries. And all of a sudden you're starting a guy that you don't want to be starting yet. And so having these guys in the program, I mean, I think that is as important as any position, maybe aside from quarterback, but it's probably more important than quarterback, because it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is if he doesn't have protection.
That's right. Yeah, and we were just talking about that in our little group chat. You know, we're going back and rehashing the whole thing with Tua and Fromm and who would you rather have and all that good stuff. But people forget, you know, Tua was banged up, and he was banged up by a pretty good Georgia defense, right? So you got to have those guys up front to be able to protect that quarterback no matter who he is. And this year, you know, more than anything with JT and all the expectations of us going to a national title game, got to be able to protect them. But long-term as well, you got a Carson Beck, you got, Vandegrift. Yeah, you got to be able to protect these guys and keep them upright. And if you want that offense to kind of run the way it's supposed to run, you got to have those hogs up front that are taking care of business. You know, but yes. Another guy – oh, go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good.
No, I was going to say another guy that kind of popped up and, you know, showed up on social media was Carlton Madden. You know, and he tweeted locked in. And he tweeted that after, you know, some other recruits were tweeting some things. What does that mean? Do you think he's locked in terms of, hey, you know what, I'm locked in for the season? Am I locked in for my decision? I mean, what are your thoughts on Carlton Madden?
I think that he's another one of these guys that we're talking about where there isn't good tape on him, and he was not able to play last year due to, I think, some administrative kind of transfer issues. I want to be clear that he didn't get in any trouble or do anything wrong to prevent him from playing, but it was kind of one of those situations with rules in the state of Georgia where we don't have tape on him from last year. But you're talking about a guy that is an explosive pass rusher, 6'4", long frame. Just looking at pictures of him, man, he is, you can tell he's taken the weight room seriously at a young age. And I think that he has the potential to be a really elite pass rusher at the next level. So what his status is with UGA, I think we'll find out here in the coming weeks and months, but it does seem like Georgia has a lot of momentum in his recruitment. And, you know, I think a lot of the experts and pundits out there have him forecasted to UGA. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I think, again, it kind of speaks to what happened last year in terms of COVID and also with his own personal situation. There's not a lot of tape out there. And so there were schools like a Colorado, a Georgia Tech, you know, mid-tier Power Five schools, excuse me, that were able to get some of these guys, these sleepers. I feel bad for those programs because they would have gotten great ball players. But at the same time, you know, eventually, you know, the cream does rise to the top and eventually everything comes back to the surface, and we knew it would, and things would shake out. And all of a sudden, you know, the big schools like Georgia are picking these guys off again. I like the kid. I like his personality. You know, I've interacted with him a little bit on social media. I like the way he's locked in as he, you know, tweeted out there. A lot of people are maybe pegging him towards Georgia, and I like the way he fits. He's one of those guys that can actually put his hand in the dirt, or he can stand up. He's explosive, and who knows what they do when he gets in the actual weight room. Do they make him a defensive end? Do they make him an outside linebacker? Who the heck knows at this point?
He reminds me kind of one of those types of guys to fill that Jack linebacker role, which is what Azeez played last year. And
exactly.
Stand, you know, big enough to stand up and defend the run very, very well, but also explosive pass rusher. So I think he could be a guy that, you know, you're hearing his name called all the time on Saturdays in a year or two. And right now he's a three-star, right? So it's just, it's going to be really fascinating to see sort of how the senior year of high school goes for a lot of these guys. Cause I think there's also guys out there that are very highly rated that may fall down the boards a little bit, and how all that shakes out is always interesting to watch, because you see a lot of fan bases that are so tunnel vision on the recruiting rankings. And it's like, oh, well, he's a 3-star. He's not good. He's a 4-star. He's good. And it's like, well, now more than ever, nobody knows what these kids are better than the staff.
And that's right. That's right.
If there's one thing that we know about Georgia's staff, it's that you can always trust Kirby Smart and his team on the trail.
Always. Yeah, and that's so true, because anything can happen when you're in the middle of a camp. I mean, you can have a bad camp, you can have a bad showing, you can have a bad matchup. I mean, all these different things can happen, but especially when I love watching the big men, right? You got a defensive end or an outside linebacker going up against somebody in the trenches. He's a tackle, he's a guard. Well, that's open space. You don't work within, 7 yards of being able to get to the pylon to be able to, snatch the quarterback. No, you're working within a confined space. So these guys are able to identify talent and identify better than anybody else once they get them on campus and say, hey, within this box, can this bear do what he has to do on the inside, whether it's a defensive end, an outside linebacker, or interior lineman, or outside, or tackle, something like that. So, but you know what, speaking of which, we talked about Griffin and we talked about Carlton, but we have Griffin, who just is coming on right now. Obviously he just made his selection to UGA, but we're going to talk to him and get some more information on that commitment and his commitment to the Dogs. All right. We are joined by the newest Dog, the newest commit in the 22 class, Griffin. What is going on, buddy?
Nothing much. Just hanging out with family, having a good time. Nothing much more than that.
All right. Hey, man, let's get right into this, because I know you got a lot of things to do. You got to, get that workout in, and I know that all those things are still important to you. You just recently decommitted from Georgia Tech. You're now committed to the Dogs. Why did that happen, and why did it happen so quick for you to switch to the Dogs?
So, I did decommit because me and my family had a long conversation about it, and we didn't think that Atlanta was the greatest place for us. And I think that there's too many distractions for me personally. And I've grown up as a Southern boy for a long time. I don't think the city is really my type of place. I really like the small town, kind of college town of Athens. I love that a lot. And I have a brother that plays at Wofford in South Carolina. He's the middle linebacker there. And being in Athens makes it closer for us and family for 2 Saturday game days.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to play SEC ball. It's been a big dream of mine. And to be able to stay in Georgia and play SEC ball, it means a lot. And that's
Congrats on that. What did you learn from your big brother, by the way? Let's ask that question, because, I mean, he's already playing college ball. What has he taught you, and what has he prepared you for possibly going on to the next level?
Be ready for those early morning runs and layers. I mean, you wake up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock if you're sleeping in.
Yeah.
But it's pretty early, and you just got to be ready, because you're always going to be trying to get recruited out of your spot, or you're trying to be recruiting into someone else's spot. So,
first of all, congratulations on committing to Georgia and taking that big step. Yeah. I guess I'm sure you're going to get a lot of questions from us and other people about the football aspect of things, but I know a lot of times in recruiting, you guys talk about making a 40-year decision instead of a 4-year decision. Like, what is it about the University of Georgia and some of the academic and other, extracurricular stuff that made you want to be a Bulldog?
Yes, sir. They do have a very good business school, and that's what I would like to go into. I want to go into financial business and possibly own my own company one day, or something of that aspect, or my own restaurant. And them having that big of a business school is a very good aspect for me, and I really like that. And I think that Georgia wouldn't be too hard on me academically. So I think that was a big part of my decision.
So you were committed to Georgia Tech at one point, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So that's kind of an interesting, going in-state rivals like that, sort of when you knew it was going to be when you kind of started feeling some of that love for Georgia, how was that feeling for you, like knowing, all right, I might be switching from – from one side of clean old fashioned hate to the other.
It's definitely weird because, I mean, all you hear from each one of them is, you know, do this, do that, and go here, go this, like go Dogs, go Jackets. You know, it's a very different thing. It's very weird to be wanting to go to one school after liking the other school very much. But I really just love Athens more, and I love UGA more than, I felt more at home there than I did at Tech.
You know, Griffin, is there a difference in the energy in the room between a Georgia Tech that's trying to rebuild their program versus a Georgia that's actually, you know, poised to win a national championship this year, which many people think, you know, is a difference in the actual locker room?
Oh, there is 100% a difference in the locker room, I feel like. I think that everybody at Georgia is closer. I think that, not just my buddy's at Tech, of course, but I feel like mm-hmm. the Tech locker room's a little bit more spread apart, if you understand. But, you know, I'm not discrediting them because they are building their program and they're doing a good job back at it. But
right,
there is just a difference between it.
Yeah, so, the recruiting process, you know, you've got tons of people trying to get at you, and you've got all these coaches that you're talking to. What is it about kind of Coach Luke and some of the other guys that were in charge of your recruitment there at Georgia? That was there something that came through that just felt more genuine, or, you know, a more family environment? Or can you talk a little bit about those relationships?
Yes, sir. So Coach Luke and Coach Smart are very, very good people. They're both the type of guy that'll tell you something and it'll get done no matter what. They'll never lie to you now. They'll always keep it 100 with you. And to my family, they think that Coach Luke is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, he's definitely a family guy. And I mean, the whole time of the cookout, he didn't leave my family. He's always, you know, let me get your brother's number, your sister's number, your grandma's number, in case, you know, that anybody needs anything, let me know and I'll get it done. And if I can't, I'll get somebody that can. And that's huge for us, because that's always been our type of style. If they're willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done and they're a family man like that, that's great. I love that.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, you were just up at Athens this weekend. You had the famous Kirby Smart cookout with the other 22 commits and potentials. What was that environment like, without giving away too much, because we know Kirby's really secretive about that cookout? What was that environment like for you and the family?
Oh, it was a ton of fun. My family had a great time. I had my mom, my dad, my brother, and my girlfriend there. And, you know, the other two brothers were kind of salty that I didn't take them. But it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of games, and, you know, I'm not trying to spread what we did, but
right,
we had a lot of fun. It was a great environment. All the recruits got to kind of talk to each other and discuss what's going on with their recruiting and what's not. And it was very nice atmosphere, and I liked it a lot.
Well, prior to the actual commitment and being there with the other 22 commits, how close were you with those guys, you know, being that you were committed to Georgia Tech? What's the relationship like?
So a lot of the commits, so for example, Denylon,
yeah,
Marquise, Gunnar Stockton, I've been friends with them since seventh grade.
Okay.
And we played on the eighth grade FBU national championship team.
And for all the folks that can't see this, because we're not live right now, he's holding up all of his rings, all these championship rings. I mean, he looks like Tom Brady over there, but go ahead.
I played with those three for since I was at seventh, eighth grade, and we won the national championship team there. So I've been close with them for a long time. And then Jake Pope was there. So I've played a beef with Jake. Mm-hmm. And I actually know a good bit of the players already there, but I've known most of them for a long time.
Right. Well, what is, you know what? You were there again at the cookout, and what we hear now, and we hear the rumblings of it going all the way back from, you know, 2017, that this team has so much leadership, has so much energy about it. What did you feel when you were around the program and at Athens this past weekend?
I felt exactly what you just said. A lot of leadership. They could be doing, for example, they would be doing a drill without a coach and they wouldn't have to turn around and ask what to do, or anything like that. And everybody's just kind of self-led, and you know, it's not a coach-led team. It's, you know, that's the best thing that you can ask for, is to have a player-led team.
Yeah. So I, you know, you're at Grayson. So I guess tell us a little bit about that, because you've been playing with guys, you know, throughout your career who are big time college players now. And I mean, do you feel like there's an advantage there being in a program like Grayson, where you've kind of been in a pseudo college environment, or as close to a college environment as you get on the high school level? Do you think that'll help the transition?
For sure. Yes, sir. I do believe that would help. And I definitely think it would help, because last year, I mean, we had probably the best defensive line in 7A and probably some of the best backers in 7A. And I think that that's really and truly prepared me for the transition from high school to college, because I know it's hard for a lot of people, because, you know, you're going against high school kids, not D1 athletes, if you understand what I'm saying. And I think that that's truly prepared me for college.
You know what, did you get a lot of time to actually go to some of the camps to work against, you know, other four stars, five stars? And if you did, you know, who were those tough guys that you went against that, you know what, you gauged yourself against to say, you know what, I can do this. I can play at this next level.
Over high school I have, but recently with COVID and stuff, I haven't really gone, but I've been trying to sort of limit the camps that I've gone to. I've only gone to college camps. Okay. Because I really don't want to risk getting hurt this senior season, just because, you know, if I get hurt, that could cost so much. But
right.
I've really only gone to the only camp that I actually worked out at was Georgia.
And I wanted to ask that question because, you know, when I look at film, I don't see three-star, which some of these, you know, I respect rivals. I respect On3, 247. I see four-star, five-star. I mean, you're strong at the point of attack. Quick feet, very quick feet, and you know, you dominate. So I love that part of your game.
Thank you. I don't mean to spoil anything for 24/7, but Rusty told me the other day that mid this month I will be a four star.
There you go, boom, right. Gotcha. There on the show. There you go.
Nice, that's awesome. Yeah, well, congratulations. Yeah. All right, dude, I gotta ask about the flow, man. You've got some excellent, like, Thor style hair going on here. Yeah. Is that
I haven't been that way always, I promise. here's my picture from when I went to the Smart Football Camp and hold on, what year was this? This was, I think, sixth, seventh grade. It was not always like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome, in sixth grade.
So, golly, yeah. So you've been tall for a while then, huh?
Yeah.
For the listeners, I mean, he's like 3 inches taller than Kirby Smart at that point.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. did you grow up a Georgia fan, or, you know, growing up in the state, what was that kind of watching the program?
I've never, like, truly grew up a fan of a specific team. Mom was a Florida grad. One of my brothers is the biggest Florida fan I know. One of them is the biggest Tennessee fan I know. One of them doesn't really do much with sports. And then my dad is a tech grad.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you just circled the wagons on hate in your house, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other day, it was last Thursday before the cookout, I had Florida call me, tell me to come down.
Yeah.
And then they called my brother. So they talked to the Florida fan mother, Florida fan brother, trying to get me to come down. And I'm sitting over here. I'm like, I already told them I'd go to Georgia. And they're like, yep. For my mom and my brother to tell them that I'm going to Georgia over Florida, and then being the biggest Florida fans I know, that kind of just tells you something, that shows you that they truly do love Georgia.
Yeah. Has the house changed to red and black yet?
Nope. Well, one of them, everybody will wear red and black, but, you know, my house, there's no red and black decorations anywhere.
Man, we'll have to get you some stuff, man.
So, yeah,
totally.
hair basket or something.
My mom's an interior designer. She, everything around here is like color coded. I don't know. As you tell, the curtains and just the couch. Like, this is ugly. I don't think it should look the same. Those curtains are 27-foot curtains.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Jeez. Okay. Holy cow.
Oh, my goodness.
Woo. Yeah, that's her.
You can tell her, though, it looks like the archway going into Sanford Stadium, though. Just let her know that.
There you go. Yeah, perfect.
No, you're not allowed to walk under the archway.
Yeah, right. So for you, you know, Lamar already kind of asked you about sort of that mentality at Georgia, sort of, you know, building towards a championship and that program and where it's at. I guess I'm curious, like, you know, looking ahead to the next 4 years and some of the guys that are there as freshmen right now and some of the guys that are committed in your class, and like, was there some excitement on your part, and was there guys in the class ahead of you or the current class that you've gotten close with and are excited to sort of build this thing with?
So, like I told Mara, I've been friends with probably four or five of them since seventh or eighth grade, just because I played FBU with them, won the national with them. And I know Amarius Mims because he's a good buddy of mine. I've gone on many visits with him. Nice. And like Tate Ratledge, also Braxton Hicks, Gunnar Stockton, Denylon, Marquise, and, you know, hopefully some more of my buddies that have been on that team, because they haven't off, but they're still deciding. They're
nice.
Cool. They don't know yet, but they'll be here.
I like that. Yeah. So are you about to start putting on that hat and kind of trying to help recruit your own class here over the rest of the cycle?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
As a recruit and part of that now 22 class boss moves, who's next on your get list? Who are you guys targeting to say, hey, you know what? Come to Athens, come with us, come win a championship. Who's next on that get list for you?
Definitely going after my teammates, JoJo Stone. He's a young guy, but he's pretty heavily recruited right now.
All right.
He's wearing his UGA gloves the past week and a half. I told him if he wears it one more damn, I have to call Coach Kirby and tell him he's committing. But definitely JoJo. I'm trying to get Jake Pope too, because Jake's a good buddy of mine.
All right. Well, we don't want to keep you. I know you said you had to get to that workout. We appreciate you coming on the 100 Sanford podcast, actually being the first recruit to really come onto the show. We appreciate it, and wish you nothing but the best, nothing but the best. Stay in touch with us. Obviously love to bring you back on throughout the season, high school season. Just talk about Grayson and another championship run for you guys.
Yes, sir. Sounds good to me.
Well, that was Griffin Scroggs. That's right. The class of 22, the Dogs most recent commit. He committed to the Dogs after decommitting from Georgia Tech. But before we go any further, me and Graham had an opportunity on Dog Sports Live to talk to none other than Carlton Madden Jr. to drop his top five, where he is set to actually commit, I believe, on September 16th. So without further ado, let's listen to that, and then we'll bring back some more content.
I am joined tonight by Lamar Lovelace of the 100 Sanford podcast and the man himself, Mr. Carlton Madden, one of the top recruits in the state of Georgia for the class of 2022, 6'3", 240 pounds, coming out of Cedar Grove High School in Ellenwood, and a big target for your Georgia Bulldogs. So Carlton is joining us tonight to announce his top five. So without any further ado, we'll throw that up there. Carlton, tell us about your top five, man.
Definitely. You know, my top five is Georgia, Colorado, Oregon, Ole Miss, and Tennessee.
Awesome. So I guess, you know, of those, like, why those schools, if you don't mind me asking, like, kind of what is it about those places that stand out to you?
Well, for starters, you know, I took my official visit to Colorado. It was a great place, you know, great view. I love the coaches out there. You know, I feel like I can, you know, go in and make an impact early. Oregon, you know, them just being a great school out west, you know, playing in the Pac-12, they're a great football team, great defense. I feel like I can fit in with their scheme. Tennessee, also a great school. I went down there just last Friday. You know, I love that burnt orange and I love that atmosphere. And, you know, it was just a great vibe there. Georgia, of course, you know, I've been there with like five times this summer. You know, it's just nothing but love every time I come. Also a great team. No doubt that, you know, it's one of the top defenses in the nation. Coach Landon, also a great coach, a great recruiter, just a good guy all around. And Ole Miss, I went down there, talked to Coach Joyner. You know, they're finna start something special there at Ole Miss, and I feel like I can fit in.
You know, Carlton, your recruitment is pretty special because you only played partially of your sophomore year. You had to sit out your junior year because of some transfer rules. How did that Georgia offer come to be, along with some of those other schools that we're talking about right now?
Really, all my offers just now started to come in, you know, due to COVID and things like that. So when I got to college campuses, got to have and able to work out for them, do camps, things like that. They was able to see how I move. You know, they really liked it. So, you know, obviously the offers started to pour in. And, you know, I'm just thankful. I'm really blessed to have the opportunity. So that's how it became.
Right on. So, you know, we are a Georgia-focused show. And I know you're looking at other schools besides Georgia. But I am curious when you've been up to Athens five times, you said – I think I saw you were up there for the cookout here recently. So kind of, is there a different vibe when you step on campus in Athens or when you're in that locker room and, you know, that team kind of where they are and pushing for the goals that they have? Is it a different feel than some of the other places or is it pretty much the same?
Yeah, I definitely say, you know, it's a different feel, a different vibe. You know, if you go somewhere with five times compared to one time to any other school, or not even at all, honestly. You know, it's just always a good energy when I'm at Georgia. You know, the guys, the recruits, the recruiters, the coaches, and even some of the team players. It's just nothing but love there at Georgia.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, so I guess, you know, with your build, it seems like you could play multiple positions at the next level. You've had like a crazy amount of weight gain here in the last year and a half. I read you went from 175 to 240. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's 100% true.
Man, you're taking the weight room seriously, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely just came down to, you know, I told myself, you know, in order to be a top recruit for, you know, going to college, you got to gain weight. You got to have the weight at the position I'm playing, or you're just going to get tossed around. You know, you weigh like, what, 190, 190 pounds, things like that. People bench press that, like, it's, you know what I'm saying?
Doing reps with that.
Yeah, people rep that out. you know, I just told myself I wanted to gain weight, you know, take the weight room more serious, eat more. So, you know, I just stayed disciplined with that, and it definitely paid off.
Well, you know what, Carlton, what did you do? Because, I mean, it's difficult to gain 60 pounds, not play on the field, but yet keep that explosiveness. Because when I look at your tape, all I see is explosion. And I see a lot of violent hand movement and everything else. How did you keep that speed?
The secret is peanut butter jelly. that's the secret. That is the secret. I ate like 3, 4, maybe 5 peanut butter jelly sandwiches a day. you know, bulking. Wow. It's just good. It was just good weight. It's not bad weight. It's just good weight.
Yeah.
I was having protein shakes, push-ups every night, weight room. That all tied into it, you know, with me gaining the weight. And, you know, of course, I still worked on my technique. You know, I didn't let that go away. You know, working, getting off the ball, working hands, all that ties into it. So, yeah, I gained a lot of weight. But that in a good way, we put it like that, in a good way. So, yeah.
Yeah, you could see it.
So what position do you think, you know, where are these guys recruiting you for at the next level? And I guess what should people expect when you take the field this fall, finally, after all this hard work and time off? Are you ready to just unleash on everybody?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll be playing Jack at the next level, you know, stand up, deep sand, dropping coverage, outside linebacker type. For my high school, I'll be playing outside linebacker with a little bit of deep end, so basically the same thing, and a little tight end. And, you know, I'm just ready. You know, it's been a long time. Last time I played a varsity game was 2019. You know, it sounds crazy, but it's just how it is, how my story is, man. So I just can't wait to get back out there.
Right on. So before we let you go, you know, obviously we're in this new era of NIL. So tell everybody that's watching out there, if you were to commit to Georgia or if you were to commit to anywhere else, like the people there locally, the business owners in town, what are they getting if they choose Carlton Madden as their next pitch man?
Well, if you choose me, you're getting an energetic guy. You know, I love the people. You know, I promote your brand like it was my own. So that's what you're getting out of me. Just a great guy all around, great football player, great dude to advertise with. So that's it.
There you go. Well, that is Carlton Madden. Keep an eye on him. His recruitment is already blowing up, and he's only going to blow up more once he hits the field here next month. So get to know the name because you're going to be hearing it quite a lot. Carlton, we appreciate you joining us here on Dog Sports Live.
Yeah,
appreciate y'all, Patrick. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Best of luck to you this season, man. Yeah,
appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. So we just got done talking to Griffin Scroggs and also Carlton Madden. But, you know, we have more information, man. I mean, came out this past weekend that Jaheim Singletary, another big name, decommits from Ohio State. Now, we were hearing some things out there that, you know, he was probably going to decommit. Some scuttlebug that he had not even taken a visit to Ohio State and just, you know, committed on the fly, who knows, but he's a Florida kid. So what are your thoughts on that, man? I mean, where do you think that we stand in the midst of that, you know, that recruitment for Singletary?
I think it's going to come down to Georgia and Miami. And at the moment, I don't have a good feel which way it's going to go. Miami has the last visit, so that's who you're seeing the headlines about right now. But
yeah,
I don't think a lot of people are 100% positive where he was or wasn't over the course of the late last week. There's been some speculation he may have even been on Georgia's campus at one point or another. I don't know personally. So I do know that he's someone that, you know, our kind of insiders and people that are in the know have been talking about for months and months as a potential flip candidate for UGA. And if you can bring him in, it's kind of freakish to imagine a secondary where Ringo and Singletary are your boundary corners and you just have two big 6'2", 6'3", massive wingspan guys out there that can run legit 4.3s and 4.4s. Good luck if you're an offensive coordinator or a wide receiver playing against that, just because you're not going to win a jump ball against those guys. You're not going to beat them with speed unless you have like an Arian Smith type guy, an elite 0.1% top of college football speed. So it would be a huge piece for Georgia's defense over the coming years. And definitely one that, just as a dog fan, I really, really want to see come to UGA.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I mean, if there's a weakness that we talk about with this season, it would be the secondary, right? It's the youth, not the weakness in terms of their ability, but their youth, their ability to actually get plays on the field. When I look at Singletary, I mean, it's scary because he looks like Ringo. He's got the long dreads. He's got them tied up.
I know, he does.
The only difference is that he doesn't have the actual girth that maybe Ringo does. I mean, Ringo's around 205 right now, 205, 210 as a cornerback, which is massive, along with the speed and, you know, like you already talked about, the wingspan. But when you talk about this kid's ability to cover sideline to sideline, you know, on an island within, you know, within the slot, this kid can cover all over the place. And that is a scary prospect to have Ringo out there with a Singletary, a Timber, you know, Nyland Green. I mean, we're talking about a nasty, nasty secondary to go along some front seven guys that are already nasty and five stars all over the field. It would be kind of crazy, man. I mean, that would be my main thought on that. But like you mentioned, it's probably going to come down to, from what we hear, a Miami or a, you know, a Georgia. And you can only hope that if we have the season that we're supposed to have, and he's supposed to make a decision a little bit later in the season, I believe, it's only going to work in our favor. That's what why wouldn't it? I mean, I don't think Miami's going to have the season that Georgia would have, but it's only going to work in our favor.
I would think so. And, you know, another secondary guy, a guy that could potentially be patrolling that back end with Singletary if things go the right way, who was also on campus last weekend, is Kamari Wilson.
Did you see the photos?
That's exactly what I was about to talk about. Those pictures with him and Muschamp were my favorite thing to come out of the entire weekend. And I think that's because there was just true, genuine joy on both of their faces. And one of my buddies on Twitter, like, tweeted out something as a joke, you know, talking about how, like, Muschamp's probably going to the equipment staff asking for a neck roll and a helmet, trying to get out there, just because he looked like a kid, you know, getting ready to mess around before a practice or something, or before a game. And
he even threw on the number 30.
I know, man. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you can tell he's having fun at Georgia, but you can also tell that there's a true strong relationship there. And, you know, Georgia's been the reported leader in that recruitment for a long time. But of anybody in this class, he's the one I get the most, like, DMs about from fans and stuff. Yeah. People asking if I have any information on him, because he's very active on social media and posts stuff, you know, of him in LSU jerseys and Florida jerseys and other things like that. But when you see those pictures – and you can tell there's those deep, genuine family type of relationships in Athens, you got to feel good about where Georgia stands in that recruitment.
Yeah. And you know what, just so fans know, it's okay for these kids to have fun. I mean, it's a once in a lifetime chance of being recruited. Some of these kids never even leave their hometowns. I mean, you're going all over the countryside and you're at the highest level that you could possibly be at this particular level. Enjoy yourself, you know, 100%. But I think some of these guys always know their actual decision way in advance, but they're just enjoying themselves. And the other photos that I was really talking about too was the family. I mean, he brought everybody, but the dog, the family dog, to Athens this past weekend. I mean, it looked like a family reunion that he had at the cookout. And that tells you a lot, you know, when the family wants to come and experience, you know, the environment, see what's going to be happening there. That's only a win for Georgia. Because everybody in that family is able to interact with somebody else's family, and who knows who they connect with. And they go back and they meet at the dinner table and they say, you know what? I don't know about you, but I love this guy's mom. I don't know about you, but this guy's dad looks, you know, we were talking about this. That's another recruiting plug in an area that you can actually capitalize on, where I think some of the other schools don't. You hear from some of the other schools where, yeah, it's not the best family environment, but at the same time, you know what? They're going to develop me to go to the NFL. Newsflash, if you're a Power 5 school in a school like Georgia, you've got guys already in the NFL. We're putting guys out in the NFL. Alabama's putting guys out in the NFL. Ohio State, everybody does. But you want to enjoy your experience for that 3 to 4 years. You want your family to enjoy it. And I think those photos just showed a lot that Georgia's able to, you know, make sure that families are enjoying that as well. And I think we actually even heard that from Griffin, where he was talking about, you know, Coach Luke, and he was saying how he was interacting with his family and how much they really enjoyed the time up there at Athens. And, you know, it means a lot to the families a lot of times.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, you know, when you consider what he told us about some of the deep Florida ties in that household.
Yeah.
And still that relationship there is so strong, it tells you that Georgia's recruiting these kids the right way, and that Georgia is, you know, really, like we talked about on the interview with Griffin, trying to talk to these kids about making 40-year decisions instead of 3 and 4-year decisions and going straight to the league, because everybody wants to go to the NFL, but there's only 256 draft picks a year, man.
And that's right.
A lot of these guys are going to go into coaching. They're going to go, you know, Griffin is interested in owning businesses. It's great to see Georgia, you know, selling these kids. Yeah. You might come here and go to the NFL, but you also can come here and get a great education. And if something happens and you don't go to the NFL or you get injured or hurt, we're setting you up for the rest of your life. And
yeah,
I think as a fan, that's what we want to see, right? Is these kids, of course, these kids getting something out of the University of Georgia, going on, doing great things. And if you look at what a lot of these guys that have come through the UGA football program, you know, over the years have done in the business world and in their personal lives, and guys like Thomas Davis, who were NFL Man of the Year, that makes my degree from UGA more valuable. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That makes all the alumni look better. And you know, so I think it's, you got to be proud of how the staff there is handling those things.
Yeah. You know what? And something else that stood out over the weekend was the interview that Starks had, and him talking about going back to Kamari Wilson when he was talking about, hey, you know what? I would love to play on the back end with that guy. And again, that's another selling tool. I mean, I think one thing that gets overlooked a lot of times is actually the leaders that Kirby and his staff recruit, because it takes a lot of those guys that are already committed to help bring in those other guys. And it reminded me of when Kendall Milton was being recruited and everyone was asking him about, well, don't you want to be the lead back? And he was like, man, are you crazy? I don't mind being the lead back, but I love to come in with another top rated line. I mean, running back, to help me to actually save my legs. And when you have Stark saying, you know what? No, come and play with me. Let's man this back end for 3 years or 4 years or however long it takes. I think that's another selling tool. That's leadership right there in this boss moves class of 22.
That's right. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think you got to like it when you see guys that are actively courting competition and
yeah,
are not possessive over their spot in a class, or, you know, trying to, you can be the alpha dog by proving it on the field. But I think sometimes in recruiting, you see guys that want to be the alpha dog by just being the only guy in that class at their position, or being the only highly rated guy in their class at certain positions. And yeah, we see that with quarterbacks all the time, right? That
exactly. You know,
They flip flop around because there only wants to be one in a class at mm-hmm. some of these schools. And I get that, you know, you can only usually play one quarterback at a time, but it's good to see these guys wanting to play with other elite players and wanting to practice against and compete with other elite players.
Yeah. Well, last but not least, you know what, we have to bring this up. We got Bear Alexander. Was he in town or was he not in town? It's almost like, where's Waldo? I was hearing conflicting reports. What is going on with that? Have you heard anything?
I have not heard anything concrete.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this comes on the heels of we saw him out on Lake Raven with Gunnar Stockton not that long ago, out on the boat hanging out. And I've heard that he's trying to transfer to the state of Georgia to play his senior year of high school football.
Right. Yeah, that's a rumor.
Yeah, that's been pretty widely spoken about. So I think that we could see him maybe come back home. I mean, the rumor that we heard a lot when he left his Georgia commitment and started flirting with Texas A&M was that his number one school personally was Georgia, but the family wanted to look around, and the family may have had some infatuation and interest with A&M in particular. So maybe he wins that battle in his own household on, mm-hmm. on where he's going to go, or maybe Georgia wins out in the end. Who knows, right? I think that Georgia is recruiting some really elite guys in that kind of interior defensive line spot between him, Travis Shaw, Walter Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you get one of those, you should be really happy. If you get two of those, you should be you know, over the moon ecstatic, and there's no way you're getting three of them. So don't even worry about that. But, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. Cause I kind of think some those guys may be waiting to see, like, once one domino falls, I think the rest might find their spots, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Because I found it, you know, pretty interesting that Nolan was supposedly on Texas A&M's campus this past weekend as well. And it's just like you said, you're not going to get all three. You might get two. I mean, you get two, you're over the moon, right? But if you get one of them, you're happy. But between Texas A&M, Georgia, and I'm not even sure who's the other player right now. I mean, it's not like a Florida, to my knowledge, could it have been Florida State for Nolan? Not sure who
Nolan's been at Florida. He's been in Gainesville a good bit.
You also have North Carolina with Travis Shaw. Yeah, that was the other school. So
Clemson, North Carolina, and Georgia seem to be the three in it for Shaw. Some people that know more than I do seem to think it's going to come down to UNC and UGA.
Yeah.
So I think that as if it's not big enough for the season and all of the implications in the national title race, that the Georgia Clemson game is also potentially going to determine quite a bit in recruiting as well. Cause there's other guys that weren't on campus this weekend, like a Luther Burden, who's committed to Oklahoma and is one of the top receivers in the country, five-star guy that Georgia's had some flirtation with, and there seems to be some infatuation there. And I think if Georgia comes out and shows that the offense they showed at the end of the year with Daniels is not a fluke, and that they're going to continue to throw the ball 30 times a game and feature some of these talented pass catchers, that a guy like him may feel comfortable leaving an Oklahoma and coming to Georgia. Cause right now, if you look at recent history, if I was a wide receiver, I'd probably rather go to Oklahoma too, with the way they've thrown the ball around the yard and guys like CeeDee Lamb that they've put in the NFL. But I think Georgia's kind of about to start entering that era where if you look at these guys lined up with Burton, Pickens, Arik Gilbert, there's
Mitchell,
a ton of them.
Yeah,
Mitchell, of them. Darnell Washington, like Georgia's going to have a solid little handful of high round draft picks at wide receiver and tight end over the next few years. So I think a lot of the narratives about Kirby Smart that the Kirby Smart detractors have been pushing for a long time, they're going to have to find a new song to sing, right? Like you're not going to be able to talk about how Kirby Smart doesn't develop quarterbacks anymore after what JT Daniels is about to do this year. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to talk about how Kirby Smart is, controlling the offense and he's making his offensive coordinators shutter down the offense and run the ball 50 times a game after what Todd Monken has installed this past spring and bringing some of those NFL passing concepts and spread concepts to Athens. So I don't know what you're going to be able to hate on Kirby for here soon. I'm sure people will obviously still bring up, the second and 26 and all of that stuff. But Georgia could have a ring in 6 months, man. We don't know what's going to happen, right? So I think just sit back and wait. But the reality is there's one coach in the country that you might discuss trading Kirby Smart for, and that's Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
And Kirby Smart's, 25 years younger than him.
Yeah. And so, and people don't want to talk about Graham. I mean, Nick Saban had the same type of things being said about him. He was stubborn, wouldn't change his offense, wouldn't change his 100%. Philosophy. He wasn't a player's coach. I mean, all these things that all of a sudden come out that, wait a minute, no, he did change his offense. No, he is a player's coach. His players do love him. That he can't recruit without Kirby. Well, he continues to recruit. I mean, it's to say all these things that continue to come out, great coaches actually change the narrative, and it always changes with winning. Kirby goes on, he wins, which he did back in 2017, you're one play away from actually, a whole nother narrative being written about the guy. Had you won in 2017, if he goes on and wins this year, all that goes to the wayside. I mean, I don't even think about it myself as a fan. I let people in Florida and Tennessee and all the rest of them talk about Kirby that way. But, you know, I think everything is really lining up now. He's got his full first class, right, as seniors in the building, which a lot of coaches don't even get to 4 years, right? I mean, they're being jettisoned out of their own, you know, out of their position after 4 years. We're about to see a lot of things, a lot of good things happen in Athens, and I'm excited. And I just can't wait, man. I think we're 30 days away. I mean, the countdown is on the 100 Sanford podcast website. We're 30 days away, man. I'm jacked.
I'm jacked too, man. And I mean, I'm such a college football junkie. I can't wait for, you know, these week zero games, which I think we're 23 or 24 days away from those now. I'm all for watching Illinois and Nebraska and UCLA, Hawaii. Give me that good trash football and let me put my feet up and just, there's nothing better than football season, man. And if college football is being played, I'm going to watch it. Hell, I watched Austin Peay and whoever they played that first college football game of the year last year. And
yeah,
you know, it's always a celebration for people like us that love the sport and just love, you know, watching the game. And I think it's going to be a really fun season, not just for Georgia, but for college football as a whole. Having fans back in the stands, seeing those people come together. I mean, you know, I grew up going to games in Athens, and my parents are both UGA alums and have had season tickets for many years. And every time, you know, even as a kid, I would go and sit in those seats, and, you know, the people around you, you might not know where they live or, you know, where they're from, but you know their names, and you've hug them randomly after a big touchdown in the fourth quarter against somebody. And, you know, it's always fun seeing those people again and getting around the tailgate and, you know, kind of being with those family and friends that football season brings together is going to be a beautiful thing after what we've been through over the last year and a half.
Well, you know what? I'd be remiss to ask this question, to not ask this question, quite honestly, because I got this in my DMs. I got it on our Facebook site as well. Do you think we're still going to have fans in the seats, man? I mean, this pandemic is actually starting to stir up again, man, with this Delta variant. I'm hoping that we kind of get through this season, quite honestly. But what are you thinking, man? I mean, I'm getting itchy.
I don't know. I mean, I understand the concerns. For better or worse, I think that certain states and certain institutions, not just schools, but, you know, government institutions are at a point where they're just done with it. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of people that have had the vaccine. And we do know that, you know, that helps, and that helps people from getting as sick as they might if they didn't get the vaccine. And so I think, you know, I mean, my parents are pushing 70 years old, right? And and they're about to get on planes and travel, and they're going to the Georgia Clemson game in Charlotte, and they've both been vaccinated. But I think we're at a kind of point where, at some point, life kind of starts to have to move on. And whatever people's personal feelings are, I 100% support their right to have those feelings. And if people feel like they need to stay home, then they should stay home 100%. Right.
Yeah.
But I I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I just think that I don't know that a lot of these programs and, you know, especially like these MAC schools and some of these, you know, smaller schools, like, I don't know if they can afford to have another year without,
collecting, I agree,
money for tickets and all of that. So I think we're going to see a pretty normal year, barring something really drastic. But I also think that people should do what they need to do to feel safe. You know, I'm 32 years old and I had COVID and it kicked my butt. Right. And I was one of the early people to get it back in March of, 2020. Yeah. So
likewise,
you know, right. And that was a crappy experience, and it was bad and all of that. But, if you look at the statistics, you know, most people that are under a certain age really don't have much of a risk unless there's some other underlying factors. And so I think we're going to see more than likely fans in the stands.
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. I know it was asked and it was in our DMs. It was messages that were being sent. Hey, you know, love all the football talk, but are we going to have it? You know, and I really do. I believe that the NCAA, and I think, first of all, we already have a blueprint, right? We already have a blueprint in terms of what needs to be done. It's if there is some form of outbreak that's slightly higher than what it is now, that we will continue to have the same type of protocol treatments that were in place last year. But at the same time, like you did mention, there's a lot of people that are vaccinated. And like you also mentioned, you know, if you don't feel well, stay home. If you don't feel comfortable, stay home. And I think you're always going to have that segment of people anyway. It's just a matter of us actually coming together and just doing what's right for each other to maintain a normal style of living, as we can call it, here in 2021. Everything slightly changed from a couple years ago, but, you know, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I think the thing to I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, so I think it bears mentioning, but the way that the NCAA's COVID testing protocols are at this moment in time is that if you've had the vaccine, you don't get tested anymore. And we saw Kirby Smart say at SEC Media Days that Georgia's team is over 85% vaccinated, and they intend to get to 100%. Whether you agree with the vaccine or not, because I see those arguments happening on Twitter all the time, and I go to Twitter to talk football, so I try to stay far away from any of that stuff.
Yeah,
the reality is that is a competitive advantage.
Yeah,
for Georgia or any school that gets all of their players vaccinated, and Nick Saban got up and said the exact same thing. They have a high percentage of guys vaccinated, and they want to have all of their guys vaccinated.
Yeah.
And Greg Sankey said at SEC Media Days that if you have to forfeit a game because of a COVID outbreak, then you're forfeiting that game, and we're not rescheduling. We haven't built extra weeks into the schedule. So I think the message is pretty clear on what's best for your chances as a football team. And, you know, I have seen some folks ask the question. I saw Bud Elliott maybe a week ago on Twitter, from 24/7, asking how is the College Football Playoff Committee gonna have they developed a policy yet of how they're gonna address a forfeited game? Do they treat that like a loss? Do they treat that? Yeah. So at some point, man, it's probably inevitably gonna affect the season, and there's probably gonna be a star quarterback out there that doesn't get the vaccine, or a star running back, or a head coach. I mean, hell, we've already seen Nick Rolovich, the Washington State head coach, have to call into Pac-12 media days virtually because he refuses to get the vaccine, even though his team is over 85%. So it's going to affect our college football season, but my hope is that there's going to be so much joy and excitement and fun times happening because fans are back in the stands, people are in the stadium, people are gathering around the people they like to watch football with, that it's not going to be that dark cloud that overshadows everything like it was last year.
Yep. All right, man. Well, that's it. I mean, that's all we got for tonight, or for this podcast rather. Anything else you want to tell the people before we get out of here?
Go Dogs. That's what I want to say.
As always, man. Go Dogs, and a Go Dogs for Trey. Trey, get
go
back
dogs,
in the
Trey. Morning. What are you doing, Trey?
All right, fellas, we're out of here. Well, hey, you know what? Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then, and any breaking news. Matter of fact, it might come Thursday because we have some big announcements being made in terms of recruiting. You can also follow the content on our website, 100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford. But on IG, TikTok, Facebook, anything else, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. You know what? That's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.
See you at 100 Sanford.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.